We're heading for a lesson on differences in the Bible, and we've done seven covering various different things, and we're going to continue on today. I just want to review a little bit. If anybody can post these verses, that would help. There is a verse list on the website on page 12, I think it is. No, 15. Verses are on 15. Under FCP 2015, the year, and the day is 04, April. Actually, it's on the 17th, I think, 16th or 17th. It's the one that's Differences in the Bible, Part 9. But I just want to start with, from yesterday, we had Romans, had left off talking about Romans 4:22 through 25. What is faith? When the Bible talks about faith, what's it talking about? Having faith, you also trusted, it says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What are they talking about? It talked about Abraham believing God and it being counted to him for righteousness. Well, it was imputed to him for... Well, let me go back, actually, as long as I've got it in front of me here. And being not weak in faith, he, talking about Abraham, considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb... Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. The promise of God was that, Genesis 12 there, he would have a son that through him and his seed there would be a great nation, many nations. God would bless the Gentiles that blessed them through Abraham. So there were a lot of promises that God had made. And yet, Abraham didn't have a son, and he was 100 years old, or 99, what did it say, 100? About 100 years old. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That took a lot right there, didn't it? But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now he goes on in verse 21 and thereafter to describe that faith. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. What God had promised, God was able to do, to perform. And therefore, because of his being persuaded, and because of that faith, being fully persuaded that God could do what he said he would do, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And that's how Abraham got that righteousness of God imputed to him in that instance. But it doesn't stop there. This is the good part for us. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Posting here. That's why I need somebody to post these verses, if we could, when we get into the lesson, starting with 2 Timothy 2:15. But this is, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, righteousness shall be imputed to us, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. He died because he was delivered up unto death for our offenses. He took my place, your place. We deserve death. He died for our sins. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Look at verse 24 again. It was imputed, I better go back to 23. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. Righteousness imputed to us. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So he died for our offenses, our sins. He was raised again for our justification, verse 25. And if we believe that, we're imputed the very righteousness of God. We come to him as sinners and leave with the righteousness. Well, we don't leave. We end up with the righteousness of God. And it's called in 1 Corinthians 15. Excuse me just a minute. First Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, it's called being saved. Saved from God's wrath. You don't have to go through God's wrath anymore. But that was all by way of review. We're going to start off with 2 Timothy 2:15. And faith, remember, faith is believing that what God said he will do for you, he will do for you. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to make a great nation out of you, because that's what he promised to Abraham. We have to take notice of who he's talking to, who he's speaking to. If he's going to save us, well, that's what we want. That's what we're looking for, where God says he will save us. So that's one reason why we rightly divide. And it's so important. It'll hinder us if we find something that God promised to Israel or some other specific group, but not to us, and we try to claim that as a promise to us. So we divide out what is to us and what is not to us. What God said to Noah, for instance, to build an ark. We don't go out and build an ark to get saved, but we find what God tells us in the Bible, and that's in Romans through Philemon, because he only revealed the information that he had kept secret from Israel and from the rest of the world. He only revealed that to Paul, and Paul's epistles, his 13 epistles, Romans to Philemon, have that information for us today, how to get saved. And it's, we read part of it there in Romans 4:24 and 25, or a condensation of it, a summary of it. So, but we can't trick God. God knows what he promised to us and what he promised to them. He made covenants and promises to Israel. We don't have covenants and promises. He didn't make them to the world in general, at large. He made them to Israel. The world at large, us, we have to depend on God's grace in being gracious to us to save us, coming to him on his grounds, on his basis that he says we need to come on, by faith. What did it say up there? If we believe, verse 24, Romans 4:24. If we believe, that's faith. That's just counting on God to do what he said he would do, that he would save us. So God knows to whom he made the promises. It's we who don't know enough of all the counsel of God. Now it wants to restart my computer. Hold on here. So let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15 about rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is so important. It's described, as Paul himself that wrote this about rightly dividing the word of truth, also describes the word of truth as the gospel of our salvation. And let's look at, let me put that up there. It doesn't look like anybody's in a position to post right now, or has a poster available. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not merging it all together, like was done in the 4th century. Not handling it deceitfully, but rightly dividing it. Look at Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The Word of God is so important. The Bible, the information God gave us, whether it was the early information He gave to Israel, the prophetic information about His plan for Israel, or whether it's the later information that was given only to Paul and is in Romans through Philemon. It's so important to study it. We don't have a chance, you know, after we die. We have to do it now. Look at Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart. Let me just check. Can you hear me all right? Do I have sound, or do you hear me? That's what I'm wondering here. Any sound? Can you hear me? Hello? Is there audio? Is there sound? Grandpa, can you hear me? Gordon? You can. Okay. Well, then it's getting out. Okay. So, what we need to do is to find out what God said He will do for all men, not just for Israel. And that's only in Paul's epistles and sermons. And then we need to believe it. Believe what He said He would do. Be fully persuaded that what He said He will do, He will do. So therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness by believing that God will do what He said He will do. And in that process you have God's righteousness imputed to you. So there it is again. God gave the gospel to Paul. Paul is giving you His gospel, which is vastly different from any other gospel in the Bible. And it's the only gospel today that is for all men. So, believe Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for your sins. Please, be saved today. And if you don't hear anything else today, that's the thing to remember. Sadly, a lot of people adding to the scripture, adapting it, changing it to suit their taste. They're taking verses that, you know, they're adding their own meaning to it. They're changing what God said and saying God said it like I think it should be instead of what God actually said. And regarding the use of the Old Testament scriptures in Romans 16, verse 25 and verse 26, Paul himself recommends the reading of the Old Testament scriptures as one of the three ways to be established. And let me just go to that verse. I don't have it in the list, but 25 and 26. And it's toward the end of 26, actually. So, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's one thing that establishes you, or establishes you. And secondly, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And thirdly, by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So, in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul is coaching, I don't know if coaching is the right term, mentoring, discipling, I think maybe coaching is the best term for it. He's coaching Timothy and said that when Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him the Old Testament scriptures, it made him wise. It gave him a wisdom, a perception about God and God's will. And he was able to receive salvation when he heard Paul preach salvation by faith. The salvation that Paul preached is not in the Old Testament. It doesn't say that. But the Old Testament scriptures prepare Timothy, prepares you and me as we read them, to receive the gospel when we hear it in Romans through Philemon. Look at what it says there. It says in 2 Timothy 3:15. Did I post that? Let me post that. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, when he was studying those Old Testament scriptures, he didn't know anything about faith in Christ Jesus saving him. He didn't know that until Acts 16, when Paul came and preached to the synagogue there in Philippi. If I'm going to say it, I better check. Let me just check. Acts 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Derbe and Lystra, not Philippi yet. It's later in the chapter. Sorry about that. So, we got it right, though. I mean, the Bible always has it right. I just need to get in line with the Bible, and that's my goal. So it made him wise. It made him realize, this is the Christ. This Jesus born of Mary is the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. He knew that Jesus Christ was no fake. Having learned the Old Testament scriptures made Timothy to realize that the timetable that God gave to Daniel about when Christ would come, that it verified who Christ was. If Jesus Christ wasn't the Messiah that was prophesied in Daniel, then who was the Messiah that would come at that appointed time, right then, that year? Was it Judas? No. But who fits the description at that year, at that day that was prophesied? It was Jesus and him only. So there is a roadmap, though, in the scriptures to help us rightly divide between what's to us and what's not to us. It's all for us. I mean, it's all for us to learn. Welcome to the room. Good to see you guys. There is a roadmap, a direction, what to follow, how to handle each portion of scripture. Let's go through that now. It's in Galatians 2, verse 9, but we'll start in verse 7. But contrary, if somebody can post these, it would help. Welcome, wonderful counselor. Let me go ahead and, I think I lost my poster there somewhere. It dissolved. I'll go ahead and look these up, I guess. Let me just see if it's anywhere down here. No. Oh, I know what happened. The other one that I had trouble closing earlier was the same kind of a poster, and when it closed them both. Anyway, if somebody can post, that will help. Right now, I'll go ahead and find Galatians 2, 7 through 9. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, so there you've got two gospels listed in the Bible in the same verse. My site is not good, or I would post for you. Thanks, Norm. I know you're willing, and I'm just glad to see you. I know it's a struggle with your pain, but we'll go on. I hope there's sound. Had cataracts removed. Wow. I hope it went well. I had mine a couple years ago, and mine went well. So I'm hoping the best for you. That was verse 7. Verse 8 of Galatians 2 says, "For he that..." Yeah, I would recommend waiting a little more than 3 weeks, because your eyes can still change. Mine changed a little bit after I went back for that, refraction. But anyway, Galatians 2:7 tells of two Gospels. And Galatians 2:8 says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision," there's an apostleship, "the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Well, it doesn't use the word apostle for Paul, but he says it was he was the same toward Paul toward the Gentiles. So, and when we combine that with what Paul said in Romans 11:13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." You can see there are two apostleships. The apostleship of the circumcision was given to Peter, and the apostleship of the uncircumcision, or the Gentiles, as it says, was given to, the office was given to Paul the Apostle. So you've got two Gospels, two apostleships. Next, we'll see in verse 9 the roadmap of the Scriptures, where to go to look for your information. It includes two commissions to two different groups. And when, I forgot to post it. Let me find it here. Hold on. 2:9. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me," those are people in the circumcision church. They're in the Church of God in Jerusalem. "When they perceived the grace that was given unto me," that's Paul speaking, the me, "they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that," and here it is, here's the roadmap, "we should go to the heathen." In other words, those, everybody in the world that's not a Jew, not an Israelite, descended from Jacob, is who Paul and Barnabas were to go to. And they, the 12 apostles, would go to the circumcision, the true circumcision, those that were already in the Church of God in Jerusalem, that they were part, that James, Cephas, and John were part of. By the way, Cephas is Peter. So that was in Acts 15. Acts 15 is where that meeting took place that's reported in Galatians 2, verses 7 to 9 that we just read. And then they went for another 13 chapters until Israel was cast away in Acts 28. And you can read it for yourself that Israel is gone. Acts 28, read the last half of that chapter, or the whole chapter. And I should say, though, that they will be back, but not yet. There are some things that need to occur before they come back, one of which is the body of Christ gets picked up like a raptor would pick up an animal off the field. We get caught up to be with the Lord. So Paul's gospel, in the meantime, though, before Israel is brought back and the body of Christ goes to heaven, Paul's gospel is the only way to be saved today. It's the only way in the Bible. I call that Galatians 2, verse 9, a roadmap to the Scriptures, because it clearly shows which apostles wrote which epistles and to which groups of believers they wrote. We need to follow what we need to study it all. Study all the Bible. All the Bible is inspired of God. But don't try to apply anything to you except what's in Romans through Philemon, Paul's epistles. So we need the roadmap to the Scriptures, because Israel's 12 apostles are going to the circumcision, not to us. And what they write is to the circumcision, not to you and me. What you read from the 12 apostles was written to the circumcision, and you can't claim it as promises to you or as curses to you. There were curses to Israel too, and they're under curses right now. There's no sense in trying to get under Israel's curse. But those writings by the 12 apostles and by the Israel's prophets early on, it's only directed to Israel. In reality, you're usurping what Israel's 12 apostles wrote to Israel, and adding confusion to your own understanding or misunderstanding when you try to apply to yourself what the 12 apostles said to Israel. Laban, I know that's a long sentence, and if you're trying to pick up on the English, that was difficult probably. but instead of doing that, we should simply apply what Christ and Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, Paul, said. We should go to the heathen. That was Paul's commission, to go to the heathen, go to people like us. If it's a problem to think of yourself as being referred to as a heathen, remember that most of the Bible was written to and about Israel, one nation that's separate from the rest of us. And that, you know, mainly they were the Jews. The whole rest of the entire world, the whole remainder of the entire world was categorized as heathen, the nations. It's not an insult. It's just a statement of fact that is echoed in Paul's commission. Look at Acts 22, verse 21. "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." And that word Gentiles is ethnos, and it's all the Gentiles. It would be the same word that other places is interpreted, is translated heathen. So it's translated heathen in Galatians 2:9 that we just read, the roadmap to the scriptures. So if you're a heathen or a Gentile and you want to find out what's written to and about you, read what Paul wrote in his 13 epistles, Romans through Philemon. We did finish that topic anyway, so I'm going to go on to another question here. Question number 18 by my count. Help me understand how the phrase regarding Paul, that he was the apostle of the Gentiles, how it means that he was the apostle of the body of Christ. Welcome, sweetheart, to the room. We're going over some basic questions here regarding the Bible and some of the things in the Bible. And this question, the questioner was asking, although Paul is not the apostle of the body of Christ, there is no apostle. We're part of the body of Christ, actually. But Paul was, there are several names given to him. His being the apostle of the Gentiles, we mentioned before. Let me just put the verse up there. But his being the apostle of the Gentiles doesn't exclude him from being other things too, and we'll see that in a minute. pardon me. There are multiple places where he talks about his positions in the body of Christ, regarding the body of Christ rather than Gentiles. Just because Christ gave Paul the office of apostle, the singular apostle of the Gentiles, it doesn't exclude Christ from putting Paul in other positions, such as in the body of Christ. They're not mutually exclusive, in other words. They're not, the commissions and positions can be operated together, used together, or function together. So separate, if we keep apart his, let me put it this way, other than his being an apostle of the apostle of the Gentiles, the Bible also declares that Paul, in the body of Christ, he is a minister, he is a witness, he is a helper of your joy. In fact, there's a room to that name in Paul talk here, isn't there? Helpers of your joy. He has authority for your edification. These are all, there's scriptures for all these. We'll go through these. And that the care of all the body of Christ churches was given to Paul. And as well as that, he was a preacher of the Gentiles, he was an apostle of the Gentiles, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So it's more than just the one thing. And we'll go through these scriptures, and then we're going to close for today. Let's see. Yeah, it's getting close to closing time anyway, and my wife needs me in there. But let's look at Acts 26:16, and I can find these verses, I think. 26:16. And see if you can pick out which of those things that I mentioned are referred to in this verse. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. I will appear unto thee. So, I hope you caught it there. The two things were minister and witness. The Lord saved him to make him a minister and a witness. Let's look in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24. Last four more and or future revelations given to Paul. Amen. Yeah. The Lord did appear unto him. It says a multitude, is it? An abundance of revelations. And here, which attribute or characteristic of Paul is named here? Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. Okay, there is one there that would be helpers of your joy, right? Helpers of your joy. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. So Paul was a helper of their joy. What else was Paul other than the apostle of the Gentiles? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8. And that says, I'll post it here. I didn't realize until just a few minutes ago when Gary came in that we're having trouble with the sound in the room. It's Paltalk's problem, apparently, since some of us can hear and some can't. But 2 Corinthians 10:8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. So he's talking there about his authority for edification, to edify those that he has sent to, including us. We get Paul's edification by reading and studying Romans through Philemon. Another would be in 2 Corinthians 11:28. And I'll post that, and then we've got one verse after that. Beside those things that are without, that cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So Paul was assigned to care for all the churches. And then lastly, 1 Timothy 2, verse 7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Well, those three apply to the Gentiles rather than to the body of Christ. So those, all those first ones, a minister, a witness, a helper of your joy, that Paul had authority for our authority, let's see, our authority which the Lord hath given us for edification, to edify, and the care of all the churches. Those all have to do with the body of Christ, even though at the same time, in relation to the outside world, the Gentiles, Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. So just to review, the apostle of the Gentiles was toward the Gentiles, but toward the body of Christ, Paul was assigned as a minister, a witness, a helper of your joy, that he had authority for our edification, and lastly, the care of all the churches was assigned to Paul. Okay, I'm done for today. That's what I've got planned for the lesson.